Good morning.
Good morning.
I'll be reading John 12, 1 through 8. Jesus anointed at Bethany. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As the keeper of the money bag, he used it himself to help himself to what he was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word.
Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Where is everybody? All right. What time is it? Oh, what time is it? It's time. Amen. Is God good? All the time God is good. Yes. And see, we want to give him the glory and we want to give him the praise today. And I was thinking about an old song, but first I got to say something about Vanessa. Vanessa was worried about her voice, and it was giving her a little trouble. But I want to tell you, when you pray to God, and when you come to him, he gives you the authority and he gives you the power in his dimension, what he wants you to do, because he knows how it should be done. Amen? All right. I said, what time is it? What time of year is it? That's what I'm getting at. What time of year is it? We talk about Easter and we talk about Passover. Easter, Passover. You remember the old days? I remember going 7 days. Yes, 7 days. And before I get into this message, I just want to give you a little bit of background due to the fact that this is a time when our Savior paid the ultimate sacrifice for the sins of all mankind. Amen? That he did. Ultimate sacrifice for the sins of all mankind. And the time that they go up to Jerusalem for the Passover, I thank God for being able to be there for the Feast of Tabernacles and to see exactly what transpires and how many people, they're just throngs of people walking around and around and around and pulling carts all over that city and all around that place. And to think about those days and those times when transportation, how did you get from one place to the other? By foot, by donkey, and by a camel. And not the kind you smoke, as soon as the smokers, but the kind you know that they ride by camel. Or you just had to walk. And believe me, the distance is 60 to 70 miles from Jerusalem, where Christ and his disciples were, to come all the way down to Jerusalem. But everybody, because you know the old covenant, they had to go up to Jerusalem to keep the feast. And so they did. They went up to Jerusalem. So what time is it? This is a very special time of year. And as the pastor was talking about, Monday, Thursday, which we are will be celebrating the foot washing. Monday, Thursday, a special time of the year. And truly, we should really reflect upon it, because again, it is for our salvation, for our good. I love to tell the story. It has done so much for me. About Jesus and his glory. Amen. I love to tell the story. It says about an old song, I believe, and when you sing that song, I love to tell the story about, what is it now? Come on, old timer. Unseen things above, about Jesus and his glory, and what? Jesus and his what? Hey, you got it. Okay, now we're going to be talking about love, because greater love what? Than no man than what? This, that he does what? He laid down his life for who? For his friends, and he called you what? Friends, all right? We are the friends of Jesus Christ, huh? We can have a better friend in all creation. There's no doubt about that. Amen? So, I really just wanted to remind you of a few things concerning what we're about to delve into, concerning this marvelous, we call it, you can call it marvelous. Yes, it is in one sense. Yet it's sad in another sense when a man is, his life is taken from him. Because, you know, the Sadducees, I want to give you this too before I get into it, because we're going to talk about these guys. The Pharisees, they had their agenda. Christ told them who he was, and he says, you know, for the work's sake you believe. That wasn't the deal, though. What they didn't like it because, I'm going to read a little bit about it, because the people were going after him and not after us. You see, because he was going after him and not after us, he's pulling them away from him. Well, who does he think he is? That's the attitude that they had. The attitude that they had. But I'd like to start also in John chapter 11, beginning in verse, John chapter 11, beginning in verse, 55. Beginning in verse 55. Well, you got your Bibles, you got your notebooks. Yeah, everybody have a notebook, a notepad here. Come up. Bring it out now. Now it's time to use it. Time to use this technology. Amen? Bring it out now. So beginning in verse 55 of John 11. When it was almost time, almost time for the Jewish Passover, they went up from the country to Jerusalem for their ceremonial cleansing before the Passover. Oh, there we are. There we are. I guess I better put my glasses on then. for the Passover. They kept looking for Jesus, and as they stood in the temple area, they asked one another. Now notice. They ask one another, what do you think? Isn't he coming to the feast at all? But the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders. Now, those guys, here they are. The chief priests and the Pharisees has given orders. If anyone found out where Jesus was, he should report it to report it so that they might arrest him. For what? Because he did wonderful works, and because the people believed in him. What else could there be? That was on their mind. Now we come then to our scripture for today, and that's John 12. Beginning in John 12. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Now you begin to get the picture? Who does this guy think he is? If anybody can raise anybody from the dead, they should be ecstatic. Hey, this must be the Son of God. This must be the promised Messiah. No one has ever done these things that this man has done. Well, then, see, they had a different attitude. They're taking them from us. They people going after him. They're not giving us respect. Yeah. And so they got on his case, so to speak. Yeah. That's what they did. So 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom he had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. The dinner was given in his honor at Lazarus' home. Now, who was Lazarus? Lazarus was the brother of who? Mary and Martha, right? So he's in his home. Now let me say this concerning Bethany. Now Bethany is 2 miles outside of the city of Jerusalem. And so Christ would come from Galilee, which is 60 to 70 miles away. I would say, and I put it this way, this is his home away from home. When he comes down to Jerusalem to go into Bethany to be with Lazarus and Mary and Martha. That's home away from home. So this was a short period of time now after Christ had raised Lazarus from the dead that he is being honored in Lazarus' home with Mary and Martha. A short period of time. So, you know, it's all in the air. Lazarus. We're going to read, too, that they came to just see Lazarus as well, the people did. Came to see Lazarus. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with who? Reclining at the table with Jesus. With Jesus. Six days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given his honor. The next verse 3, please. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and that perfume comes from India, is where it came from. Expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Can you imagine? And here we see, and she did this. Now, why did she do this? What was the reason for doing this? We're going to see some things that kind of comes before what Christ did later on. And next. But one of his disciples, and guess who is this? One of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. Now, I want you to reflect on that. Now, here is a woman, and during this particular time, a year's wages to pour on somebody's feet. You got to be kidding. Why would she do something like that? Pour a year's, by the word, a year's wages to pour on the feet of Jesus Christ. You would think about that. He did not say, and I was speaking about Judas, he did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. But didn't Christ know he was a thief? Well, why would you put a thief in charge of the money? Duh. Well, and some say, okay, he did this. He knew he was a thief. But sometimes, and I have an illustration of this when I was in the military. Sometimes when you give a person a responsibility that will change them, really. But in the military, an example like that. There was a guy who was, we had a term in the military for him. We call him a guy that mess up, but I don't think we use that M that way. But anyway, the sergeant said, well, you know what? He's been around for a long time. He gave this boy a responsibility. And you know what? When he had responsibility, he changed because he wanted to carry out that responsibility and do well when working with other people. And sometimes that worked. So Christ knew what he was, no doubt about it. However, you know, and even in the scriptures you find where he says he was betrayed. And so Judas, unfortunately, was the one who did betray him. So He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as thief, as keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. He stole. He was a thief, and so he stole. And we'll see later, not only did he steal, but he also betrayed. Yes, he did. Verse 7. Leave her alone, is what he's pointed out, because of the money bag. I'm a little missed my point here, my place. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended. Now, I want to draw your attention to that. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. How do you get that? How do you come by that? Leave her alone. Jesus replied, it was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. Now that opens up a whole nother avenue of things. Here's a year's wages spent on oil, and Christ says that it was saved for him. How could she have known this? She didn't know this really. The Holy Spirit, God, and God knew. And God inspired her to do this, as we are going to see. But again, in seeing that, we can understand a tremendous amount from what this woman did with such a gift. And here's a poor person. Remember, Lazarus was a beggar. You didn't forget that, did you? Lazarus was a beggar. So that didn't mean that they were very well off at all. This was his home. So Lazarus was a beggar. And so here's this woman, a whole year's wages. What would that, like you, would you contribute a whole year's wages, your wages? And I know that standards have changed now, but just think of it and put it in that perspective. I will put a whole year's wages on some perfume to pour on somebody's feet. You got to be kidding, right, Don? No, you wouldn't do that. However, the story is such a wonderful story and such a wonderful way in which it is told. As we're going to see what happened, which why she did this. It was intended, as Christ said, that she should do this. Definitely. You will always have the poor. As he says, she has done this perfume for my burial. You will always have the poor among you. Now, I want you to capitalize on that, the poor among you, as well as, but you will not always have me. Oil? This was preconditioned. Did she know he was going to die and be buried? This was a preparation for his funeral. And it was saved. Somebody knew what was going to happen. But you know, when you think about it, when we do our Bible study, we read where Christ, time and time again, he says why he came into the world and that he would depart from the world, that he would be crucified. Time and time again, various parables and things, he says this. And sometimes when we come to the point in time where it's about to take place, we kind of lose track of those things, like she did. Evidently, she didn't. Someone knew, and someone prepared her for this particular occasion. Someone prepared her for that. Definitely. And so she anointed him. She put that oil on his feet and blessed him. Did she know he was the Messiah? I believe she did. Remember, her brother Lazarus was raised from the dead. Remember, they sent messages to him to come that Lazarus had died. And remember, he came. And they said, Lord, if you had been here, he would not have died. How did they know that? There's something that they had come to understand by Christ. It's something that sometimes, I guess it's the Pharisees, they missed that. They didn't understand it at all. They didn't. Now, John goes on to talk about, first of all, let me give you something here. That's when Christ said the poor. I didn't want to miss that. The poor you will have with you always. Now, the poor you have with you always, I have a little article here that says world poverty schedule. World poverty statistics. It was amazing to me to find out. And see, here's a prophecy. Christ says, the poor you have with you always. But also in Deuteronomy, it points to the fact back in the Old Covenant concerning the time, concerning the seven, what is the year of release, talking about the poor that you have with you always. The total percentage of world population that lives on less than $2.50 a day. Can you believe that? What is that? The total is 50%. 50% of the world population lives on $2.50 a day. Total number of people that live on less than $2.50 a day, 3 billion. You never thought about that. 3 billion. The total number of people that lives on less than $2.50 a day, 3 billion. Total percentage of people that live on less than $10 a day, 80%. You are blessed people. You know that. You wouldn't. $10, $2.50 a day? You got to be kidding me. How blessed you are. Amen. How about that? Total percent of world population that live where income differentials are widening. Income differentials are widening. 80%. Total percentage of world income that income, the richest 20% occur 75%. The 75%. I tell you, what Christ said, the poor you have with you always. Total number of school days lost, speaking about poverty in various other countries, water, when you can't get water, like I was when I was in Africa and could see the people bringing water on cots where we were up in bringing water, pushing on carts. But around the world, there are many places, many countries where people are poor. And so the poor, as he said, you will have with you always, you will have the poor. Now, that said, but notice the next thing that we want to take up is what Christ said after that. But me, I will not always be with you. I will not always be with you. John 12. And the end of verse 8. But you will not always have me. Now, if I could have John 16. If I could have John 16, we'll find something. But now notice what he's talking about. So good. But now I am going to him who sent me. What did he mean by you will not have me always? In John, see now we all Gospel of John, given this perspective. Now we come to John 16. We were in 11. Now we're in 12, where he was anointed and to say, she anointed me, you know, prior to my burial. And so we come now to this particular chapter and Monday, Thursday. And during the Passover week, Pastor High is going to be covering some of this. I don't want to get too far ahead of when he come on and bring it into resurrection and Easter. But I just want to say this part about it. But now I am going to him who sent me. None of you ask me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things that I am departing. I will not be with you always. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. Now, what advocate is he talking about? Why is it important for him to go away? He's talking about what? Who? He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. So if he remains with us, we will not receive the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that imbues us with understanding and guidance, the Holy Spirit that enables us to understand his words, the Holy Spirit. When I come, verse 8, when he comes, he will prove the world to be in the, what? When the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. Yes, good. About sin because people do not believe in me. All that he did, they didn't believe. Can you believe that? If you had been there, would you have believed? Or would you have been as they were? They did not believe. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father. Now we know where he's going. I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. I am about, and about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear. And I like that phrase of what the guy said. I have much more to say to you, but right now you can't handle it. And that's what he said. You can't handle it. And so much more that he could say to us, and so much more that he's going to reveal to us. But right now, we can't handle it. We truly can't handle it. God is good. And God is great. And now I want to just show you again what Mary said. About Mary did, what was so important about what Mary did when she anointed his feet. And in Mark, I believe it's Mark, I think I had it here somewhere, Mark, bear with me, I'm got things a little topsy-turvy, I can find where I am here. In Mark 14, this is something that you will understand. Mark 14. Don't have Mark 14? All right. Okay. Get your pads out because this is very important. Mark 14. I tell you the truth. Wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in her memory. Speaking about what Mary did. Wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what Mary has done will be told concerning her. How she sacrificed. What was the sacrifice? She saved the oil. It appears that maybe she didn't fully understand it, but she saved it. And it cost her dearly, and she anointed him for his burial. Wherever this story is told, if you read that account in Mark 14:9, I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in her memory. How much have you sacrificed? What have you sacrificed? Did you sacrifice as much as Mary did? In a particular time when people were poor, a whole year's wages she sacrificed for the Savior. She did. Now, what time is it? The Savior is gone and the Savior is going to return. And what did he say for us to do? You are to be what? Be prepared when he returns. He is sent to comfort her. And during services for Easter, as I said, Pastor High would be speaking, and that would be carried out much further. I really didn't want to get too far in here because I'll be stepping all over him as far as Easter is concerned, and two more sermons to go. But in any event, there's some things that I would just like to say concerning this. In conclusion, always remember, God gave his only begotten Son so that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. That's what he did. God gave his only begotten Son. And so where is Christ? I will not be with you always. You will not have me always. But it was imperative that he depart. It was imperative that he depart so that he could send a comforter to prepare us to understand the scripture more deeply, profoundly, and thoroughly. Who he is, why he came. I have come that you may have life and that you will may have it more abundantly. I have come that you may be, change your heart and change your mind, that you will be in the kingdom of God with the Father and with the Son when he turns. Now we know, okay, he's going to reign in Jerusalem. That's where it's going to be when we be here. But like he said, I have much more I can tell you, but right now you are not able to handle it. And so I say to you concerning your walk with Christ, as Mary walked with Christ, her sacrifice, as Christ said, that it would be told what she did and how she did it and understand why she did it, because she loved the Savior. Do you love the Savior? Do you love God? He says, if, you know, a man, a greater love has no man than this, than he give his life for his friend. And I have called you friends. And so, also keep in mind what our Savior said concerning our brother and our sisters. Our brothers and sisters. I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about you, each and every one of you. Love one another. Rejoice with one another. Do not judge one another. Admonish one another in a good sense. Serve one another. Forgive one another. Encourage one another. Bear one another's burdens, is what he says. And so when he says all of that, he ends up saying too, as he said concerning Mary, that what she did would be told. And I like what he says, that the world may know you are my disciples if you do all of these things. You know, he said, if they persecute me, they will also persecute you. In the world, you will have, not you may, but in the world, you will have persecution. And come on, help me out. You know what he said after that? Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And you will reign and rule with our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Thank you, my God. Amen. Almighty ruler and creator of the universe, God of all gods and King of all kings, I thank you, Father, for your loving care, for your blessings, your goodness, your mercy. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for the message that you have given, that you have recorded for us as we delve into your word, great God. Sometimes there are certain things that we don't fully comprehend at the time, but thanks for the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of power, the Spirit of a sound mind that you have given, that we can come to understand more deeply and profoundly your words of wisdom and truth. And I thank you, Father, for guiding me today. It was kind of a struggle, but Lord God Almighty, there was so much there. Father, to flood my mind concerning your goodness, your mercy, your love, and how you expressed it. You expressed it through Mary, Almighty God. How you expressed that. And, oh, Heavenly Father, I give you praise and thanks for your guidance, your direction. There is none like you. Father, guide us, protect us through this day. Be with us as only you can. In Jesus Christ's holy and righteous name, I give you praise, O God. Amen, amen.